to Straight Talk with MJ. I'm your host, Michelle Jeanette. Thank you for joining me on another episode of this podcast. I've got a lot to talk about today. Obviously, a lot going on in the world, especially with our election here in the U.S. And there's just a lot to put together. And I know probably many of us have wanted to just check out and not really pay attention because there's so much going on and it can be really confusing. And so it has taken me a few days because things change by the hour, almost by the minute, with everything going on with this election integrity issues that we're having. But there's been some very interesting things that I have been reading about and listening to, and I wanted to bring that to you specifically on the election in this episode. And there's a lot more going on also with COVID. So I'm going to bring that to you in another episode pretty quick after I've finished this one. So I will be releasing two here episodes pretty quickly. It's just been a lot of different issues going on. So I wanted to get to that today. But, of course, the first thing I want to do is mention my sponsor, On Guard Firearms. Safety has been a big issue this year, from COVID-19 to the riots to defunding the police and human trafficking. One way to protect yourself and your loved ones is to be prepared. On Guard Firearms and Accessories is a family and veteran-owned small business that offers both handguns and rifles to help protect yourself and those around you. From the first-time gun owner to the seasoned veteran, On Guard Firearms and Accessories has something in store for you. Don't wait for someone who won't get there until after the emergency is over. Get prepared now. You can check out their selection at www.onguardfirearms.com and visit their Facebook page and Instagram pages and use the coupon code STRAIGHTTALK to get 10% off. And remember, Straight Talk is two T's. Straight Talk, the coupon code, get 10% off at www.onguardfirearms.com. Thank you to On Guard Firearms. So, usually what I do when I do my podcast is I end it with history, but I have been reading in my Founder's Bible from wallbuilders.com, which I highly recommend. And there is something that I think what I want to do is read first the history part, because it kind of puts in, I think, perspective what we're facing right now. And I think we have to remember where we came from and to really grasp where we are at this moment in history, in this moment in time, in 2020. And so what I'm going to do is read the history part first, and then I will go into the election information. And boy, there is some really interesting information on that. So stay tuned with me on the election information. Today, I'm going to read about Patrick Henry. And we've all heard Patrick Henry, the famous line, "Give me liberty or give me death." But do we know what happened around that? So many historians have compared Patrick Henry to an Old Testament prophet, and for good reason. His bold denunciations of corruption in government officials and his articulate defense of the colonists' right to declare independence from England are legendary. During the critical years of 1765 to 1776, the American colonies were forced to endure a long list of abuses: taxation without representation, searches and seizures without probable cause, the confiscation of firearms, and on and on. The reason I'm reading this is because it's going to sound really familiar. Despite the fact that most of the colonists and their representatives still favored seeking reconciliation over independence, Patrick Henry was one of the most passionate and fiery advocates of the American Revolution and republicanism. It was his influence that roused Virginia, the largest of the 13 colonies, into military preparedness. On March 23, 1775, with British troops posted throughout the colonies and warships in America's harbors, Patrick Henry rose up during the Second Virginia Convention's debates on whether to declare independence or negotiate with the British, and declared, "Should I keep back my opinions at such a time? I should consider myself as guilty of treason toward my country and of an act of disloyalty toward the majesty of heaven, which I revere above all earthly kings." Then he called upon his fellow colonists to trust God and use all the means that he had placed in their power. Quote, 3 million of people armed in the holy cause of liberty and in such a country as that we possess are invincible by any force which our enemy can send us. Besides, sirs, we shall not fight our battles alone. There is a just God who presides over the destinies of nations and who will rise up friends to fight our battles for us. The battle, sir, is not to the strong alone. It is to the vigilant, the active, the brave." Unquote. Patrick concluded his argument with a passionate call. Quote, "Gentlemen may cry, peace, peace, but there is no peace. The war is actually begun. Our brethren are already in the field. Why stand we here idle? Is life so dear or peace so sweet as to be purchased at the price of chains and slavery? Forbid it, Almighty God. I know not what course others may take, but as for me, give me liberty or give me death." Unquote. This was no summer soldier or some sunshine patriot. Proverbs 28:1 tells us, "The wicked flee when no one is pursuing, but the righteous are bold as a lion." At a time when others were shrinking back or hesitating between two opinions, Patrick Henry, with the boldness of an Elijah, the fearlessness of an Amos, and the voice of one crying in the wilderness like John the Baptist, had developed a decisive roar and emerged as a firebrand, a blazing torch for the battle of liberty. Where did he get such strength? Part of his confidence came from sources written long before his birth. So, the original charter of 1606. Some people think that the Declaration of Independence was written because of a disagreement over tea. Others say it had to do with exorbitant taxes. Still, others suggest it was simply a rebellion against England that was long overdue. Such is not the case. All the colonies wanted was for England to respect the rights of each individual had from the inception of their immigration, rights granted to them and written in the original charter that preceded any English settlement in what is now North America, which England was now repudiating. Each of the colonies, and specifically Virginia, according to the original charter of 1606, upon which the first English settlement of Jamestown rested, was to enjoy the rights of Englishmen. Paragraph 15 of that charter stated, "Also we do for us, our heirs and successors, declare by these presents that all and every the persons being our subjects, which shall dwell and inhabit within every or any of the said several colonies and plantations, and every of their children, which shall happen to be born within any of the limits and precincts of the said several colonies and plantations, shall have and enjoy all liberties, franchises, and immunities within any of our other dominions to all intents and purposes, as if they had been abiding and born within this our realm of England or any other said dominions." Written largely by the Reverend Richard Hakluyt, whose vision for planting English colonies was motivated by his desire to see the gospel of Christ spread into the New World. This was a critical insertion into the Charter of 1606 and unique among the nations planting colonies in the New World. It repeated the cornerstone of England's Christian history, the idea that rights are God-given and thus cannot be alienated from the individual. This is the cornerstone of Christian self-government, the right to enact laws through your representatives based upon the fact that each individual has the responsibility before God of guarding the liberty given to them. This is the rock or foundation that erected local self-governing assemblies or parliaments as an inherited right. They were still to give allegiance to the king as their executive, represented by the royal governors who communicated his wishes, but they were to elect burgesses or representatives to conduct the legislative branch of government, thus exercising self-government as an inherited right. It was the repudiation of these rights, and specifically the dissolving of the lawful assemblies of each colony, together with their original charters, that led the colonists through the pen of Thomas Jefferson to list the following as part of their grievances in the Declaration. He, being the king, has dissolved representative houses repeatedly for opposing with manly firmness his invasions on the rights of the people, for taking away our charters, abolishing our most valuable laws, and altering fundamentally the forms of our governments, for suspending our own legislatures and declaring themselves invested with power to legislate for us in all cases whatsoever. He has abdicated government here by declaring us out of his protection and waging war against us. These grievances, called a redress, were written against King George III. It goes on and talks about Patrick Henry and how he was not educated in school, like a formal education, like a lot of these people were. He was self-educated. And many colonists, including Thomas Jefferson, had wondered where Henry gained such a command of the English language in his oratory, if he was not more studious of the speeches of great orators of the past, or even the quantity and mastery of the classical languages. The answer was simple. He was a student of the English Bible. His knowledge of Scripture and his daily reading of the Bible gave him the bold confidence he needed. Truth has a way of doing that on our insides. It fuels the fire of passion because it grants us the right of reality, a clear-eyed capacity to see what is. It is true, and thus we will not back down. How could we? At the age of 24, Patrick Henry began the pursuit of law for his living, entering the College of William and Mary and getting acquainted with another young budding lawyer, Thomas Jefferson. He applied for the bar. Initially rejected for his awkward appearance and crude mannerisms, he was granted the bar due to his phenomenal ability to argue verbally on the common law and the legal history of the English colonies in America. He was 24. Now, before the House of Burgesses, Patrick Henry rose to speak. This was, I'm trying to find the date, 1765. This was the scene in Williamsburg, Virginia, on May 29th, 1765. So it was 10 years before this whole Declaration of Independence happened. What he pronounced was 7 definitive resolves that first claimed the colonists, in accordance with their original charters, had all the privileges, liberties, and immunities of natural subjects to all intents and purposes, as if they had been abiding and born within the realm of England. It was a matter of principle. They had God-given, inalienable rights, and the charters to back them up. England did not have the authority to disregard them. So he fought for 10 years. He started when he was 24 and used the Declaration and the Charter of 1606. He used that charter and the Scriptures as his basis for truth and basis for what he was fighting for. So, scoot forward to today. Where are the young lions of today? Our dread champions of righteousness who refuse to flee in the face of tyranny. 11 years prior to the Declaration of Independence, Patrick Henry had the courage to take a stand against an English law that every other Burgess agreed was unconstitutional, but did not dare confront. It sort of sounds like a lot of these establishment, probably to me, like establishment Republicans. They were like, okay, this is bad, but they didn't have the fortitude to take that further step and to confront the bad law against the king. Okay, so this is what's happening today, in my opinion. So Patrick Henry had that courage to take a stand against this law. Where did such boldness come from? First, a simple life built on truth, steeped in the Word of God. Clarity and conviction are its fruit. Where others feared that their words of disagreement would be misunderstood and their careers and lives would be endangered, Henry knew the same, but he knew the source and the foundation from which they came. He knew these rights came from God. What does Scripture say? And how does the Scripture say it? When we know that, we are able to give a clear trumpet blast of truth. An uncertain sound will leave us confused and without confidence, and we will cowardly avoid conflict for all the wrong reasons. Second, boldness and confidence come from trust when we draw from the original intent of a primary source and not merely an opinion. It was not his opinion that the law was unconstitutional. It was a fact. He did his homework. It was not hearsay. It was I saw, and thus became I know. When we can be bold, or we can be bold when we take our stand on truth and know of its accuracy. Third, there are times in history when someone must make the decisive stand and lead powerfully, which Patrick Henry did. Though it appears the cause is lost, God does something marvelous through the power of the spoken word, infusing confidence into those who are naturally timid and cautious. The righteous are bold as a lion because they can hear the roar. When we know that we are fighting for what is right and it comes with heaven's approval, though others may flee, we will stand. The fact that any of the resolves were passed on that day was a miracle. And had the Virginians not stood on principle in 1765, one wonders what may have happened in the other colonies. When storm clouds are on the horizon, trouble and confusion abound, and controversy swirls on every side, who will have the courage of Henry to stand and lead us to a place of truth? As believers, we must know when to be silent, when to speak, and when to roar. Parents run from their responsibilities to confront their children. Pastors fear their flock will leave if they speak out clearly on issues of sin. Government leaders bow to the pressures of powerful interest groups and financial contributors on issues they know should be changed. Where would we be without the Patrick Henrys of history? May the righteous be bold as lions. See why I wanted to read this before I started my talk today about the election integrity. The first thing I'm going to let you listen to is an interview with General Michael Flynn. And if you don't know about General Flynn, very quickly, he was in the Obama administration. And he was tapped to be one of the, I think the director of national intelligence or one of those directors. And he really spoke out boldly against some of Obama's policies regarding radical Islamic terrorism. And so Obama did not like him and fired him. And when the transition happened, when Trump won, to their chagrin, they didn't plan on Trump winning. They planned on Hillary winning, and so none of this would have ever been known. But when Trump won and Obama talked to Trump about transitioning, and he gave him some pointers, so to speak. He said two people not to trust, Putin and General Michael Flynn. Why would he say that? It's very scary that this actually happened to Michael Flynn, but the power of the government was used to against him, to shut him up regarding Trump, because Trump hired him to be part of his team. But the Clapper and Comey and Brennan and the others all, and especially Obama, did not want General Flynn speaking out and sharing the truth. So they used him, and they were able to trap him in this saying that he lied, when the FBI actually had evidence that he did not lie. But they went forward with this anyway and prosecuted him. And so guess who his attorney was? Sidney Powell, the wonderful attorney right now, working on her own to fight for this election and for president, you know, for the truth coming out in this. But General Michael Flynn was exonerated through 4 years of hard work with Sidney Powell's, you know, work doing this. It was proven that what he did nothing wrong. He had been under a gag order this whole entire time. He was not able to speak out. But now, since President Trump last week pardoned him, he has been able to speak out now. And so what I'm going to let you listen to is his very first interview. And he is a strong Christian. And they basically ruined a very strong patriot. They ruined his livelihood, his finances, his life. And his family stood strong with him. Sidney Powell stood strong with him, and others did in this. And he came through to the other side, and we're, you know, with lots of prayer and lots of fighting. But here is his interview about election integrity. And this was on worldviewweekend.com. I had not heard of them before. And this is what happens when you get off of Facebook and you get off of Twitter, because Facebook and Twitter have been censoring things, and Google. They have been censoring information, and this is basically information warfare that we are in right now. We are in a war for who gets the information out and who suppresses it. And people, if you don't know the information, how do you know what to stand on the truth? And so we are in this battle right now, and it's a digital battle. It's digital information. It's being waged against us by Google, Facebook, Twitter, and I'm going to give examples of this, you know, in coming episodes. But they suppress, they shut down, they remove people they do not like their information. And this is highly unconstitutional, it should be illegal to shut down voices. This stuff that happens should not happen in America. It happens in countries like, you know, communism, communist China, in Venezuela, and things like that. So I want you to listen to this interview. He's going to be introduced by General McInerney, who has a long history in the military intelligence community. And these are both 3-star generals, very, very strong patriots. And we should seriously listen to them. And so I want you to hear this interview with General Michael Flynn. I'm just going to play a few minutes of it. The whole thing, I'm going to put a link in my podcast here when I'm done, and you should listen to the whole entire thing. But here is just a few minutes of that.
Yes, I would like to, Brandon, to let everybody know that General Mike Flynn is going to join us tonight. In the few days that he has been pardoned by the United States, by the President of the United States, it is a great honor for us to have him, and for he and I to speak along with Mary and Alan about the treason that has been committed against this administration, this country, and this president. And General Flynn was a key part of that, that this threat that we are facing today did. So it's an absolute great honor to have you with us, Mike.
Absolutely.
And we must let America know what's happening.
Absolutely. With that, General, I am just going to give you the floor. I know you're on a cell phone, but I'm just going to give you the floor and let you speak to the American people. Thank you for joining us tonight.
So first of all, I want to just say thanks, Tom, for getting a hold of me and asking me to come on tonight. And Brandon, appreciate you connecting me in. I don't know what your audience is or who we're speaking to tonight, but I would tell you what's happening in this country should never happen. And we are going through, there's no doubt in my mind, we're going through a crucible of history. And if we don't correct what it is that's happening right now over the next couple of weeks, then I really hate to even think about what will happen in our country going forward into the latter part of December and certainly into the next month. I do not believe for a second that the country will accept Vice President Biden as the next president based on what we know to be probably the greatest fraud that our country has ever experienced in our history. I mean, what we're seeing, what I'm in right in the middle of it right now, and I will tell you that, first of all, the president has clear paths to victory. They have clear paths to victory, and they actually don't require a lot of courtroom action. What they require is they require a lot of honesty out of elected officials, and frankly, a lot of Americans who are coming forward and telling us their stories. I mean, the hundreds and hundreds of Americans around the country in different states, not just the swing states, but many, many other states that are coming forward with their stories and putting them down on affidavits as witnesses. We had probably 10 or 12 affidavits come in from one particular state today, and because there's been a number of threats to people, these particular patriots, they sent their photos in with their affidavits and said, "Put mine up at the top of the list because I want people to know that I'm not going to be afraid of these people that are threatening our country and our way of life." And so, I say all that, and on one hand, and the other hand, as I just described, we have clear paths to victory for this president. And frankly, he's going to win Pennsylvania. He's going to win Arizona. He's going to win Georgia. He's going to win Nevada. He's going to win Michigan. And the other one that he's probably going to pull in is Wisconsin, too, because there's a discrepancy in Wisconsin of 130,000 fraudulent ballots that they just discovered. So there's a lot of things happening, and it's all, to me, it's all positive. I was asked today on a scale of 1 to 10 who will be the next president, and I said 10, it'll be Donald Trump. It'll be President Trump. There's no doubt in my mind that he won this election hands down in a landslide, probably somewhere between 350 and 400 electoral college votes. What we have seen is over, and I know this, I mean, over the last probably two decades and probably longer, I could, give you a little bit of a history lesson in that, but I won't. But over the last couple of decades, what we have seen is a complete shift in how fast I believe that Communist China, in their long-term plan, decided that to sort of move up their plans to become the global superpower, sole global superpower on the planet. And, their sort of plan was by about the middle of this century that we're in right now. And I believe during the last 2016 election, when they didn't get the candidate that they needed and the kind of ideology that they saw America moving towards, they were not going to allow 2020 to happen. And so now what we have is this theft with mail-in ballots, the theft with this software, Smartmatic software, and Dominion, these Dominion systems. I mean, these are systems that are not owned by this country. They're not owned by this country. They're owned by other they were introduced into this country. I mean, how can we have, how can we say, as the United States of America, how can we say that we accept a system that is not made in this country, and not even in many cases the ballots aren't even tallied in this country? How can we say that here in this country, that we accept that? The one thing, and for you all and for all your listeners, the one most precious thing that makes me the same as the wealthiest guy or gal on the planet, or the poorest person in America, what makes us equal is when we go in to a voting booth and we close that curtain, or we go in there and we lean over to vote. My vote matters the same as the guy who's the richest guy, in America. It matters the exact same. That's where we are equal, and that's why this has to be fair and free. And it was not. We know we have evidence of previous elections where this happened as well, but we're now focused on this one. And I'm going to tell you, we're not in this to lose. We are not in this to lose these battles. We're in this to win these battles.
Woo. You need to finish listening to this, because General McNerney comes on also and talks about the Dominion of software and the ties that it has with China and Iran. It is insane, the scope of this. And I messaged a retired general friend of my dad's, and I messaged him, and I gave him this link to this video, and he told me he watched the whole thing, and he said specifically, here, I'll read it, because I've got to use his words here. He said, yes, the problem, we need to prove this. That would be the actual problem we're going to have, is how can we prove all this in time? And he says, it's probably a lot worse than any of us know. We only are seeing the very, very small tip of the iceberg of this scope of this massive fraud. It's not just to steal an election. It is to destroy America and steal America. And by not just entities that are here, but by foreign governments, communist China and Iran specifically. There's others. You're going, okay, you haven't been paying it. Maybe you haven't really wanted to listen to some of the information coming out about all the election fraud. Maybe it's just so complicated, because it is. It's so very complicated. And everything, there's just so much stuff coming out by the hour. So what I'm going to do before I play this other clip is I'm going to go through, is Cheryl Atkinson, and she is a wonderful investigative journalist, and she has put together a kind of a list, and it's not complete, obviously, but it's comprehensive of some of the most significant claims of the 2020 election, miscounts, errors, and fraud. And this came out yesterday, and so I'm going to read it to you, because you need to understand that this is so widespread, and that this happened, when 5 or 6 states shut down counting, which has never happened in the history of our elections. We've never stopped counting all at the same time, 6 states. This points to very suspicious things. And so when people say, well, there's no evidence of fraud, that right there is evidence of something very fishy. Okay. But that in itself, that one thing, but I'm going to list a few things. And once you hear these, I hope what it does is say, okay, yes, there was some very bad things happening. And what we need to do in the end is not certify this fraud, this fraudulent election. We need to move forward with legislation and how the Constitution has it laid out for us. And so I'm going to read some of this. So the first things is in Arizona, and this is just touching on a few things, so it's not anywhere, you know, it's not close to all the obvious things. State officials blame a, quote, data error for conflicting and fluctuating results in one county that dropped the appearance of Biden's lead by 6,000 votes and then posted it back again. So, you know, you're thinking about ballots and you think about the Dominion software and you think about the voting machines and then you think about ballot harvesting. I mean, this is not just one thing that happened. This was a concerted effort that was started back after 2016, after they lost the election. This was a concerted effort by them to say, we won't let that happen again. We will not let ourselves lose again. And so this started way back then. Even before that, Dominion was in place, the software and Smartmatic. But that's just so broad. What we have to focus on is right now. But they started this back a year or so ago with how they set all this up with ballot registration, with ballot harvest. And then COVID hit with China. And when China hit, you know, let COVID spread, I'm going to share a little clip of another article that's going to tell you about how China is involved in all this. It will blow. I mean, if you're not going what, then you really need to get a little fire under your derriere, if I'm going to say that nicely. In California, two men are charged with voter fraud after they allegedly submitted more than 8,000 fraudulent voter registration applications from homeless people between July and October of 2020. Okay, Georgia. Boy, Georgia has turned out to be something insane. Statistical analysis shows Biden pulling from behind in improbably consistent increments in Georgia and other states. So it's improbable consistent increments. On Wednesday, November 4th, the New York Times reported President Trump was leading in Georgia by 103,997 votes. That's the morning after, right? Morning after the election. Then the Times' continuous voting updates showed ballots arriving for Biden in multiples of 4,800 votes over and over again. So this is what it's saying. In some vote dumps, the President Trump, actually lost votes. So if you're really thinking about it in an election, how do you lose votes? You don't lose votes in you don't like get taken votes away. You gain votes. One side gains a vote and you jump ahead of another person or whatever. So the president actually lost votes. And this is real-time data reporting from the New York Times. This continued until Biden pulled ahead by almost exactly 1,000 votes, gaining 104,984 votes in multiples of 4,800. So every vote dump, it was in multiples of 4,800. In Fulton County, all 900 military ballots went for Joe Biden. The 100% military vote rate for Biden seems improbable in conflict with a 2016 split where Trump reportedly won 60% to 34%. Yeah, I know my dad was military. They do absentee ballots, and absentee ballots are more secure than just mail-in ballots because you have to request them and you have to show proof of who you are and all that stuff. On election night, Georgia election officials suspended the vote count, citing a water leak in a master pipe. When Republican observers left, thousands of votes were counted exclusively for Joe Biden. When people inquired, there was no work order for any leak. The only reported leak that night was a small leak in a toilet that had nothing to do with a room with ballot counting, according to a lawsuit filed by attorney Lynn Wood. Election workers put masses of ballots in the wrong stacks and blocked Republican observers. There were suspiciously pristine pre-printed ballots thousands of voters registered at specific fraudulent addresses, 20,000 absentee or early votes were cast by people who were registered as having moved out of state, 96,000 votes were illegally counted for Biden, absentee ballot signatures were not properly matched. That's according to attorney Sidney Powell's lawsuit. The lawsuit also states that Dominion voting machines allowed for manual manipulation of vote tallies and alteration of settings to put ballots in a question pile where they can be deleted. That's the drop and drag and delete. Attorney and registered Democrat Carlos Silva says he observed widespread fraud in several precincts, always benefiting Biden. At one precinct, a stack of absentee ballots had perfectly filled out black bubbles, and as poll workers went through the stack, he heard them call out Biden's name more than 500 times in a row. At a second precinct, he observed similarly filled in black bubbles for Biden on absentee ballots, and poll workers moved him away from his observation position. He observed absentee ballots for Trump counted for Biden. Says the required signature verification process was not being followed, and thousands of the perfect bubble ballots were for Biden with no state or local candidates selected. That means the down ballot, there were no candidates selected. Only the presidential candidate was selected, and that was for Biden. And these claims are filed in a sworn affidavit. Also in Georgia, government data indicates well over 100,000 illegal votes in Georgia were improperly counted, while tens of thousands of legal votes were not counted. That's according to the Thomas More Society's Amistad Project, which has filed litigation questioning more than 200,000 Georgia ballots. Governor Brian Kemp of Georgia illegally authorized election officials to open outer envelopes of absentee ballots 3 weeks before the election, which is prohibited by state law, according to a lawsuit. And a Project Veritas video claims observers heard votes for Trump being counted for Biden. This goes on and on and on in Georgia. I mean, on and on in Georgia. I'm going to move on to another state because it just goes on and on in Georgia. It's crazy what's happening in Georgia. Okay, in Idaho, live online election results from the AP appear to show some sort of glitch, with Trump seeming to lose 6,000 votes in a span of 2 minutes. That was in Idaho, where nobody's talking about Idaho. Now we're talking about Michigan. Okay, Michigan is huge. Forensic analysis by a former military intelligence analyst alleges proof of foreign interference and or access in the election. Are you hearing this? Proof, okay? The Democrats spent 2 years trying to prove that Trump colluded with Russia to win the election of 2016, and they spent 2 years and millions and millions and millions of dollars, hundreds and hundreds of witnesses, and even with phony, fake dossiers that they tried to instigate this with, they could not find not one single bit of evidence that showed Trump colluded with Russia. And here we have already, within 2 to 3 weeks of an election, we have substantial evidence of voter fraud and foreign interference in our election. It shows Dominion's voting machine server connected to Iran, China, and Serbia. Also, the analyst says records show Hong Kong Shanghai Bank became collateral agent for Dominion voting systems on September 25th of 2019. The declaration is contained in the lawsuit filed by attorney Sidney Powell and includes screenshots and a summary of the evidence. This is huge. This is what the media is not wanting you to hear. This is what the media is saying. There is no evidence of voter fraud. Right. This is the evidence. Okay. This is what's being presented. Okay. Also in Michigan, a Detroit worker Jesse Jacobs states in a declaration that she witnessed and was instructed to backdate thousands of absentee ballots the day after the election to make them appear legal, even though they were not in the qualified voter file and had not arrived by the deadline. She also testified that leading up to Election Day, Detroit poll workers skipped voter ID checks. Also in Michigan, Wayne County Board of Canvassing member William Hartman, a Republican, says in a sworn declaration that Michigan's largest county certified results knowing there were massive discrepancies between the approved voter files and the ballots cast and counted in Detroit. 71% of Detroit's 134 absentee voter counting boards were left unbalanced and many unexplained, he said in a statement. He also said birth dates in voter ID files were altered. She goes on and lists many other things, results were reversed in Antrim County after it first appeared Biden beat Trump in a landslide by 6,000 votes. Michigan officials later blamed user error for the incorrect results and declared Trump actually won the county. The state blamed an Antrim County clerk for failing to properly update software used to collect voting machine data. The reason the information got a second look is because people who know the county thought the initial Biden landslide seemed very unlikely. Okay, so now we're in Nevada. Okay, and today Arizona is having legislative hearings like they did in Pennsylvania, which is much needed. They need that there. They need it in Michigan. They need it in Wisconsin. This is something I read about some articles in Nevada. The Trump campaign claims, and this is what they're showing proof of. I can't remember. I think it was Gateway Pundit was showing this in an article, that gift cards and other incentives were given away in a get-out-the-vote effort aimed at Native Americans. It's illegal. The organizing group says it is not. It's illegal to pay people to go vote a certain way. And that's what they were doing in these get-out-the-vote efforts that, believe it or not, yes, funded by the none other than Open Society George Soros Group. They've also identified several thousand voters who appear to have cast ballots after they moved from Nevada. And the Voter Integrity Project says 8,443 people who voted in Nevada did not meet the legal residency requirements. I know I'm going long today, but this is important stuff. This keeps on going in Pennsylvania. This is huge. I want to give you this and then I'll move on to that clip. A statistical analysis of New York Times data in Philadelphia claims a suspicious strangers of voting ratios benefiting Biden has also happened in Georgia. By 11 p.m. Election Day, Trump was leading Biden by about 285,000 votes. Then 347,000 votes from somewhere dumped into the system in 44 batches increments of approximately 6,000, 12,000, or 18,000 additional net votes for Biden. As a result, Biden came back from an election night deficit of 285,000 to a 46,000 vote win 4 days later. So, in other words, Trump was hugely winning Pennsylvania. And in, even more than just 285,000 votes is a pretty big lead. So they had to do it in increments, and it's a ratio, 6,000, 12,000, 8,000. This happened across multiple states also in a specific ratio. And when you look at the numbers, because I'm not a numbers person, so trying to explain this is a little difficult, but if you look at the numbers in these in all across the states, and analysts have done this, it was dumped, Biden votes were dumped in ratios, so that you couldn't tell across the states that it was a ratio. But when you dig into the numbers, you can see that it's specific, actual, time and time again, ratios. Percentage more for Biden than Trump every single time they dump votes, so that in the end, Biden was winning. It's crazy stuff. It's so complicated. Very complicated. Here's the kicker in Pennsylvania. 1.8 million absentee ballots were mailed out for the 2020 election in Pennsylvania, but 2.5 million were counted. Where do the rest of those come from? How does that happen? How does that happen? This goes on and on. I'm going to leave the link here. Multiple things in multiple states going on. That didn't even include the Dominion voting machines. So I will put that link. It's highly important that you read that. But now I want to share this senator, because they did have... well, first, I want to share this on Crosswalk. If you watch Epic Times, they have... Joshua Phillips does little 20, 30-minute videos on really, really good information. And he interviewed a Trevor Loudon. And let me see if I can find that here. Here it is. And he interviewed Trevor Loudon. And he's talking about the election here. I want you to listen for a few minutes on how he's explaining what is happening, with especially with foreign interference. And this is, again, astounding. That what's also astounding is that so many Republicans are just quiet and going along with this. And we're going to talk about that here in a minute, but just take a listen here. This is Joshua Phillips from Crossroads, and he's interviewing Trevor Loudon on the China connection.
Welcome back, everyone. So we're here in New York sitting down with Trevor Loudon, author, filmmaker, and Epoch Times contributor, talking about the current state of the elections in the United States and what they represent. So, Trevor, it's a real pleasure having you here.
Most welcome, Josh. Thanks for having me.
Now, first off, I'm curious. You've been watching these communist socialist groups for more than 30 years. You've watched how they've gotten involved in the political systems. You've watched how they've been involved very recently in the riots, different movements in the U.S. And you've, of course, watched what their agendas are. How do you see these agendas playing out in the current time? What does this really represent?
Well, you have a network of pro-Chinese communist parties in this country. Communist Party USA, Liberation Road, Freedom Road Socialist Organization. All of them helped with the propaganda over the COVID. The Chinese line was force shutdowns, shut down everything. All of them were involved in promoting that, and also saying how wonderful China was, because China's handling it so well. So bringing down America, promoting the Chinese line. Then they were all involved in promoting the massive wave of rioting that took part in this country. That was specifically the Freedom Road Socialist Organization, which instigated the rioting and organized it in cities like Milwaukee, Kenosha, cities in Florida, Houston, Dallas, Salt Lake City, etc., and Liberation Road, which is the group behind Black Lives Matter, which did organize most of the riots and protests in other cities. Communist Party USA joined in, other groups joined in, but those two pro-Chinese communist groups were the main instigators. And then, to top it all off, you have these same pro-Chinese communist parties running big voter registration drives in targeted states, the key swing states, signing up hundreds of thousands of low propensity voters, mainly in the minority communities, so they could lift the Democrat vote total enough to either win outright or lift it up enough where a little bit of fraud on top wouldn't be noticed. So the Chinese, through their communist networks in this country, were able to promote the COVID propaganda. They were able to burn American cities all across the country and bring the country to the point of chaos. And then they were able to target and specifically influence key elections across the country. They openly claim credit for swinging the election in six key states for Biden. They openly claim credit for this.
Now, Trevor, what evidence can we show people when it comes to these groups having been involved in the elections and having ties to China?
Well, if you go through the publications of groups like Freedom Road Socialist Organization and Liberation Road, they openly talk of their ties to China. It's there. They have big posters of Mao. They quote communist China. They send delegations to China. They talk about their support for China. But this is, the general public doesn't see this. But the evidence I'm talking about is monitoring. If you monitor their communications, their Zoom networks, their Zoom conferences, their internal publications, which I have some access to, there you will find much more evidence of open communication with the Chinese consulate, for instance, in San Francisco, openly working with the Chinese officials in New York. The Boston communists work with the New York communists on that. So the evidence is there if you dig for it. They're much more open than you think they might be. It's really a matter of connecting the dots. But because there is no media scrutiny on these communist groups, and the FBI hasn't even gone after them for years, they are a lot more open than maybe it's wise for them to be. You read their publications, they talk about organizing the riots, they admit they organized the riots, they take credit for organizing the riots, they openly talk about how China is leading the world in dealing with the COVID, they openly propagandize for increased shutdowns in this country, they use their power in the unions to keep teachers away from schools, to shut down businesses who try to open. And then if you look at the same people involved in the key voter registration organizations in this country, and then you monitor their communications where they boast about flipping this state, they boast about the 8 million phone calls they made in this state, or the million doors they knocked in this state, and how we flipped Pennsylvania, and how we flipped Michigan, and how we flipped Wisconsin, they say it. All you have to do is connect what they're doing to communist China. So you just go to the places where they talk about their links with China, and then you connect the dots.
Whew. Does that not blow your mind? I'm hoping what I'm doing today, I'm hoping is that I'm getting you a little motivated, because in the end, it's going to take us doing something, all right? So the last thing I'm going to show you or have you listen to is this Senator Mastriano, and he's out of Pennsylvania, and he's one of the legislative state legislatures there in Pennsylvania. He is a retired colonel, and they are the first ones to have hearings with all they brought in. You really need to go listen to that, too. I'll put the link there. And just listen to all these people talk about the voter fraud that they witnessed. It is mind-blowing, okay? And if we cannot have election integrity, we cannot have a nation. This should not be happening in America, but it is, because there are people who want to destroy it, okay? So listen to his closing statement at the end of this hearing. And I think this is very powerful. So I hope you can hear this. I'm going to play this really quick here. And again, his Senator Mastriano, and he is a retired colonel.
Everyone, for your patience.
This guy is introducing him.
Many witnesses, our senators and representatives, as you've seen today, this COVID pandemic has made holding a public hearing a little bit more challenging than usual. But we have still received an enormous amount of information today, information that we will share with every one of our members. There is no doubt in my mind that we will pass legislation in the House and the Senate based on what we have learned today. I also want to thank Senator Mastriano. Doug and his staff have been enormously helpful today. It really goes without saying, we would not be here without Doug Mastriano. And so I'm going to give him the last word, because I know even if I didn't, he'll take it anyway. He deserves to have it. Doug.
I love you, Senator Argel. Thank you for being willing to use your committee to do this hearing. So we pulled the trigger yesterday morning around 9 a.m., and look what happened here. And as Jesus said, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Guess what? Guess what? The truth's out there. Media, you should have found these witnesses. You need to do your job. Now you see them out here. Do your job. You're essential to this republic, and without you doing your job, instead of being partisan hacks, this republic can't stand. So now you got some information, you got some witnesses with courage. These people are heroes to me. As a retired Army colonel, I look at them and I say, you guys are outstanding. Thanks for being willing to step up. Because I am cognizant that the so-called tolerant people on the left will not show much love or tolerance to people they disagree with. And so thank you for standing, because you're warriors being able to stand for and save this republic. So thank you for going forward here. I mean, indeed, I started this off quoting from John Adams. We are in Adams County. You know, facts are stubborn things. There's a lot of hard facts out there, and guess what? As history and change in 1863 in Gettysburg, back then, it's July 1st, 2nd, and 3rd. So on this day, history is changing for our country and state back at Gettysburg once again. I mean, I don't even know how this happened in America. We could send 50 years ago, you know, men to the moon, but we can't have a safe, secure election in Philadelphia and Pennsylvania. What's going on here? It's got to be by design, because we have the technology, we have stealth aircraft that are the envy of the world, but we can't run an election better than Afghanistan. Congressman Perry, you and I are in Afghanistan, and I don't know how in the heck Afghanistan has more secure, safe elections than Pennsylvania does. I mean, beam me up, Scotty. There's no sign of intelligent life anywhere. Really. We move heaven and earth with American dollars to secure elections in Iraq and Afghanistan and elsewhere. We can't do it in our own state. It's by design. There's people in Pennsylvania not interested in safe, secure elections. And we have to correct this. There's two things that need to happen. First off, we need to make sure the real winner is sent forth from this presidential election. And number two, we need to fix this. This doesn't happen ever again. You know, I can't believe we're having this conversation here in Pennsylvania. You know, this is the kind of stuff I hear about that goes on in Belarus under Lukashenko, or in Russia under Putin, under Saddam Hussein's Iraq. Really? Here in our state? I mean, this is disgusting to me. You know, I watched when I was doing strategy in Russia, you know, Putin's people stuffing ballot boxes, the same thing that happened in Pennsylvania. When I saw that 15, 20 years ago, I was like, well, thank God we're not like that. What happened? What happened? We're not going to let it stand. You know, I saw, you have to forgive people because we are a constitutional republic, so I'll forgive those that say democracy, but I saw one man had a sign in Philadelphia, and the irony wasn't lost on me. Democracy dies in Philadelphia. Can you imagine the irony of that? You know, where the light of liberty was lit in 1776, it transformed this world, where in this very same state, a new birth of freedom. And then, of course, let's not forget 2001, Todd Beamer. Let's roll. You know what? It's our time to roll. This is no time. You know, democracy can die in darkness, in dark rooms with no transparency and accountability. We're shining light on this darkness here. We're going to take our state back. We're not standing aside in this hour. You know, as Representative Metcalf rightly said, in 1994, there was so much shenanigans and cheating in the Marks versus Stinson case that a federal district judge threw out the election results, took a senator out of Harrisburg, state senator, and put the Republican in because the election results were so corrupted. So we do have a precedent here, federal courts, and I hope you take a hard look at that here. Has our election results in Pennsylvania at the presidential and other levels been so corrupted that the results have to be thrown out? That's going to be a case you're going to have to make before the Supreme Court there, but it sure sounds like something stinks in Denmark or in Philadelphia. I don't know. You know, one vote, one person, one legal vote per person, and any cheating goes in there disenfranchises an American. And I can't believe this is happening here, and we're not going to let it stand. I don't know why it's so hard. You know, I know it's hard because this has been going on here for a lot longer than we imagine. But in Galatians 6:9, we're told by St. Paul, grow not weary doing good, because in due time you'll reap your harvest. We're going to reap our harvest. The time for dithering The time for dithering and deliberation is over. It's time for decisive action. We have to protect our Commonwealth and our nation. The eyes of the world are upon us, and let's turn the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania from a laughingstock to the pride of the world once again, as we've always had been and need to be again. This is our day, this is our hour, this is our time. So yes, Mr. Franklin, a republic, if you can keep it, we're going to keep it. Can you keep it? Can you? Will you? We're going to keep the republic. Thank you, and God bless.
Yeah. Can we keep this republic? Will we keep this republic? That's the question. Will you sit there and just, you know, be intimidated, or will you put your faith into action? It is something that we all have to be aware of, that, you know, we have a job to do. And I love listening to Lance. He's very motivational as far as really tying everything into scripture. And he says what we can be doing right now is a couple of things. One is praying some of these psalms, like Psalm 2, Psalm 5. Like in Psalm 5, it says, in the morning, O Lord, you will hear my voice. In the morning, I will order my prayer to you and eagerly watch. For you are not a God who takes pleasure in wickedness. No evil dwells in you. The boastful shall not stand before your eyes. You hate all who do iniquity. You destroy those who speak falsehood. The Lord abhors the man of bloodshed and deceit. O Lord, lead me in your righteousness because of my foes. Make your way straight before me. There's nothing reliable in what they say. Their inward part is destruction itself. Their throat is an open grave. They flatter with their tongue. Hold them guilty, O God. By their own devices, let them fall. In the multitude of their transgressions, thrust them out, for they are rebellious against you. So this is the kind of thing, like in Psalms 2, 5, and a couple other psalms, I think in 7 and maybe 9. We should be praying that. That's one thing we can be doing is prayer. The other thing is what my husband and I have done, and he took it upon himself to initiate the emails, and then I went and did copy that and sent them out, is even though I'm not from some of these states, you can be emailing or calling these legislatures, and all you have to do is type in Pennsylvania state legislator, you know, Republican legislatures, and because they are Republican, you know, why are they not standing up for election integrity? It's insane. But, you know, Lance talks about these people don't make a lot of money. They have jobs elsewhere, and so they're intimidated. So if we can email or call them and tell them, the world is watching, especially in the states where they are, if that's where you live, you know, we won't vote you in again in 2022 if you do not stand for election integrity now. We won't have another free and fair election if we don't get this right, if we don't do it right now at this moment in time. So my challenge to you is not just pray and not just plead with the Lord, okay, but to put all that into action. And what does that look like? It just depends on where you are. I think we live in Tennessee, so obviously we don't have any issues here right now, but I did find out that Dominion voting systems is used in certain counties here. So what am I going to do as a citizen of Tennessee? I'm going to call my legislatures and my senator and my representative and tell them, please get rid of any foreign owned voting systems. That should be basic common sense. We should not be having our voting systems be owned by people from Venezuela or China or anywhere like that. And we should not be having systems that can be hampered with and tampered with or hacked or whatever. The second thing, obviously, is to send emails and make phone calls. It is kind of time consuming, but what is at stake here is our future of free and fair elections, our republic. And the least we can do is email and phone call. Our ancestors, our forefathers, they had to shed their blood. They had to go to war. They had to go to battle. And we don't want that here, but we want to stop that. And of course, the forces are moving towards, you know, this election being stolen. But we've got to, that's why we're fighting so hard now. So go ahead and, you know, that's what I challenge you to do. Not just pray, but to take action. And if the least you can do is call and make phone calls and write emails to these representatives in different states. The next thing you can do is show up in Georgia, in Arizona, in Michigan, in Pennsylvania. They're doing drive-bys. They're doing rallies. They're doing get-togethers. And December 12th, there's another huge MAGA rally in D.C. And, you know, if I talked about the one we went to in D.C. a couple weeks ago, weekends ago. If you show up, it shows not just that the people are out there, but they want election integrity and they want who actually won. If you heard General Flynn talk about the electoral votes and how Trump actually won 350 to 400 electoral votes, that's incredible. Okay? It just doesn't make sense that somebody, the president, when you look at all the numbers, it doesn't make sense. Okay? When a president gets 10 million more votes so far, and the most any president has ever been reelected on. And I mean, Obama was reelected with 3.5 million fewer votes. He didn't get more votes. He got 3.5 million fewer votes than he did in 2008. All right. So Trump was reelected with more. He got more than 10 million more votes. Okay. And maybe even more when all this is brought to light. And all this corruption is brought to light. How does a guy who sits in his basement get more votes than that? There's no way he could outperform Obama and Hillary Clinton. And now we know why. The saying is, now we know why he didn't have to campaign. Because they had all this already in the, you know, planned out as a backup plan. And he actually said that. The Freudian slip he made when we have... The largest election fraud system going. Yeah, he had that. He actually did say that. That's incredible. I'll leave you with this quote from Joe Biden himself.
We have put together, I think, the most extensive and inclusive voter fraud organization in the history of American politics.
That's from his own mouth. Freudian slip, you know, and then everybody just blows it off. Oh, that's just Biden. You know, he didn't really mean what he was saying, right? Come on, people. As he would say, come on, man. That's a quote from Biden also. So I'm going to wrap it up here. Follow me at straighttalkwithmj.net. If you tried to go there this last couple of days during the Thanksgiving week, I was gone and did not get to the renewal of my website until I got back, and so it was gone for a couple of days. I really apologize for that, but I renewed it, and so it's there. You can go look at hear my other podcast episodes at straighttalkwithmj.net. Remember, Straight Talk has two T's. I also now am on Parler and on MeWe. And Parler is Straight Talk with MJ. And Parler is really cool. I'm getting a lot of information on Parler that you will not hear in other places because Twitter and Facebook are censoring. So anyway, follow me with that. I'm going to do another episode here in the next day or so on the COVID problems that we're having issues and some interesting information that has come out that, again, Facebook and Twitter are censoring. They do not want you to hear this stuff. But anyway, we will talk about that another time. God bless. Get out there, pray, and do something. Take action. It's going to require us to not just sit down. It's going to require action on our part. So go do something like that, you know, put your faith in action. Thank you again for listening, and we'll talk again very, very soon. God bless.